Welcome to the CGA IGC podcast series, brought to you by the CGA IGC Education Committee and made possible through the generous support of our sponsor, LS Cancer Diag. Each episode aims to bring you an in-depth discussion related to emerging data, clinical challenges, and unique perspectives in the world of hereditary GI cancers. Before we start, we'd like to remind you that the content of this podcast is not intended to replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and the content reflects expert opinion at the time of recording. Keep listening to find out more about this episode's host, guest, and feature topic, and be sure to learn more about our sponsor at lscancerdiag.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CGA podcast. I'm Emma Keel, a genetic counselor at the University of Chicago. Today, we have with us Megan Honig. Megan is a genetic counselor at the Mayo Clinic. She's an instructor of laboratory medicine and pathology and specializes in hereditary oncology testing. She is passionate about utilization management, genetic testing technology, and education. Megan completed her genetic counseling and public health training at the University of Pittsburgh. You may recognize Megan from her talk at the 2023 CGA IGC Annual Conference in Las Vegas. We are grateful that she's agreed to record this podcast about constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation, which will be an invaluable resource to our CGA membership. So, hey, Megan, welcome. To start off, I guess, could you just tell us what constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation is?
Sure, and thank you so much for having me. Taking a brief step back, whenever I think of MLH1 promoter hypermethylation, I often think of the tumor. So this is whenever there's epigenetic silencing that will then see microsatellite instability, loss of MLH1 on IHC. But for constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation, this is where we see that transcriptional silencing throughout the body, so that individual actually has a type of Lynch syndrome.
Okay. And how does it happen? What's the mechanism?
There's two different ways that we know that this happens. The first and the more common way is a primary epi mutation, where we actually don't know how or why this happens. There's methylation in this individual, and we don't know why. Because we don't know the cause, we typically see these individuals are the only ones affected in their family because there's nothing heritable. However, on the other hand, there are a few families where we see this methylation occurring, and that's because it's a secondary epi mutation. So there's a genetic variant that's the primary cause that then causes that secondary epi mutation. And so these could be deep intronic, deep promoter variants, sometimes the CNV, and that's the other cause of MLH1 promoter hypermethylation.
Okay, very interesting. Do we know what percentage of Lynch syndrome patients have constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation?
Unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for that, but there's probably more individuals who have this than we know. This is not something that's being routinely or universally tested for, so more people need to be tested in order for us to have that good estimation of individuals who have this.
I see. So this could be like an explanation for some of those familial colorectal cancer type X families or those cases.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Or just an individual who has colorectal cancer, but no family history. So the suspicion is maybe moderate because there isn't that family history. But because the majority of these cases are sporadic, that could actually be a very good fit for why that cancer happened for that person.
Okay. How is this testing done in the lab?
So it's done on a blood sample, and it undergoes a bisulfite treatment where the methylated CpG islands remain as cytosines, and the unmethylated cytosines are converted to uracil. Then there's a PCR primer specific to those regions that will amplify that and detect whether or not there's anything that's methylated. Because of the PCR amplification process, it'll detect whether or not there's something that's methylated, but it won't really be able to quantify it. And the reason that's important is while most cases are what you'd consider like heterozygous, there are documented cases where an individual is a mosaic, and most of the time the technology isn't there to distinguish between the two. And that's why it's something that's called constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation, because of that distinction, instead of just germline methylation.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that you could have mosaicism with this. That complicates things even more.
Yes.
Are there guidelines for when to do constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation testing for patients?
Sort of. It's often listed in the footnotes of different guidelines of you can consider doing this testing, but there's not necessarily anything that's hard and fast as a universal recommendation.
Based on what you've seen in these guidelines, when do you consider this testing for patients?
Yeah, I would say any individual who had a Lynch tumor diagnosed less than the age of 50 and doesn't have a genetic explanation for this, especially if they have like loss of MLH1 on IHC or tumor methylation, depending on what tumor testing your institution does. And another thing to call out that I mentioned earlier, oftentimes these are sporadic cases, so you might not see any significant family history.
Okay, interesting. Logistically, if one of us were to order this testing, what do folks need to know? Like what kind of sample types are accepted? What's the turnaround time look like? Is this covered by insurance?
So for a sample type, more often than not, it's done on blood. If a laboratory suspects there might be some mosaicism, they might offer or suggest testing on normal tissue just to help clarify that result. For turnaround time, it's a relatively quick test, generally around 8 to 12 days. And I can't make any promises for insurance coverage, but generally speaking, there is favorable coverage for individuals. The CPT code is 81288, testing for MLH1 promoter hypermethylation.
Okay, thank you. In your experience, what have you seen as the main issues with either access to this testing and diagnosing people with constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation?
There's a few things that come to mind for me. As we've been discussing, this is a very nuanced and niche both test and diagnosis for an individual. And I think that there is a place for universal testing for individuals who meet that criteria that I mentioned, but that's a very long and specific thing or a long and specific criteria that they would need to meet to do NGS testing. And then let's also do an additional test just specific to this one thing. Whenever you think of other universal testing for pancreatic or ovarian cancer, order a panel. And generally that's the end of the recommendation. That's a very simple thing to follow compared to all of these nuances that we would need to consider. Some other things that I think of that are difficult with diagnosing and identifying constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation is that some variants that cause this can be identified on NGS. So there might be some false reassurance or false idea that that would cover and identify it. But really, that is a fraction of a fraction. A part of constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation is due to these secondary epi mutations. And only a part of those are really identifiable on NGS panels. So really for these individuals, they need both that panel to rule out typical or common genetic causes. But then if there is still that suspicion that they need this extra test to diagnose and identify it.
Okay, interesting. Well, thank you. Do you have any take-home messages about this testing for our listeners?
Yeah, so I would say that this constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation is a cause of Lynch syndrome, and it's probably more common than we know of. So making sure that testing is ordered and performed for individuals who meet criteria or have a clinical suspicion for is done is very important to do. That way they get the care and surveillance that they need as a Lynch syndrome patient.
Right, right. I know, I think that's important when somebody has this and there's no family history. It's hard to know how to screen them going forward. So confirming constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation can make a huge difference for patients.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Megan, for having this discussion with me and being on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Megan can be reached by email for questions about constitutional MLH1 promoter hypermethylation testing. We encourage you to check out other podcasts on the CGA IGC website, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And to stay tuned for our next one, where Josie Baker, a genetic counselor at Ohio State, interviews Jeremy Davis from the NIH about his recent paper on decision-making and regret in patients with germline CDH1 variants undergoing prophylactic total gastrectomy.